listening to the Sunday podcast brought to you by lifeteen.com, a reflection on the upcoming Sunday Catholic Mass readings. And now your host, the Bible geek, Mark Hart.
It's kind of fun to be back to that old theme music. You know, I don't know if anybody else, when they hear that music, if you start hitting your knees like you're playing the drums or, you know, tapping the desk like you're playing a xylophone. I mean, I know I don't. That would be weird. Hey, we're taking a look at the 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time. First reading, Zechariah. It's good to get a little bit of Zechariah in your day. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, and then chapter 13, verse 1. Our psalm response, Psalm 63, verses 2 through 9. Second reading, St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. This is short, but it's power-packed. Chapter 3, verses 26 to 29. And St. Luke rolls out our gospel again this week, this time from chapter 9, verses 18 through 24. My brothers and my sisters, I want you to close your eyes, unless you're driving. Please leave them open. And visualize something. Visualize yourself standing on a path that's sort of diverging, and it's forking into two roads. There's a path going to the left and a path going to the right. One path, it seems very straight, very wide. There are no rocks or anything like that. It's just a nice, smooth path that kind of winds off into the distance, the horizon, and the nice sunlight. And there's another path, and it's kind of steep, and it's kind of jagged and rocky, and it seems a little dangerous, and there's a lot of shrubbery and trees, and it kind of diverges off into some darkness, like a heavily wooded area. As you look at these two paths, you have to pick one. And our natural human inclination is, I'm going to pick the one that looks smoother, easier. That's a little steadier. That's more level. There's nothing wrong with that. It's our natural human inclination. That's what we do. As we move through life, most of us, oftentimes, we make our decisions based on how we're going to avoid suffering. How am I going to get from point A to point B the easiest, with the least amount of drama? And again, there's nothing wrong with that. Nobody wants to go bring drama on themselves. There's plenty of drama in the world and too much reality television, but that's a different story for a different day. The reason I bring these things up is that God's plan and God's path is often wrought with suffering. And if we are constantly trying to avoid suffering, if that becomes our goal, then a lot of the times we're going to miss out on those trials and those things that God might place before us, not because he doesn't love us, but because he does. Because there are things that he'll put in our path to grow us in character, to grow us, to keep us dependent on him, and to keep us seeking him more and more. And as we look at these readings this week, it's really important for us to remember a couple things. Number one, that God does have a plan. We can't forget that. I know I talk about this a lot. He has a plan. And sometimes that plan for us is going to involve suffering. But it's not the same kind of suffering that comes because we sin. It's the suffering that sometimes will come with trials because, again, he's trying to grow us because he loves us. In this first reading from Zechariah, you're going to hear, I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace. They shall look upon him who they've thrust through. They shall mourn for him as one mourns. They shall grieve. And this sounds really heavy. Like, wow, I'm going to be mourning. I'm going to be grieving. And he says, on that day in Jerusalem, there shall be mourning as great as Hadad-Rimon in the plain of Megiddo. And, you know, you might hear those things and go, what is that? Well, these were pagan mourning rituals. These were pagan places and pagan gods. And when they were on the plain, there was this mourning ritual. And as loud and as annoying, really, as it probably was, that he's saying, this is going to be even greater mourning. So he's using this illusion. And the people back then would have understood it. Now, obviously, we don't. So when you hear that, don't get too thrown. But he's trying to make a comparison. Hey, you've all heard the way that they mourn, okay, for Hadad-Rimon. I love saying it. But this is going to be even more. You're going to hear mourning. You're going to feel weeping. You're going to go through these things. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem are going to understand this, and they're going to experience it. But I'm going to pour out a spirit of grace. I'm going to purify them. Okay, so this might not be the path they choose, but it's going to work because ultimately it's going to work for their good. And he's trying to remind us of something. Look, sometimes the path that we're going to choose obviously is not the right one, but the path he has set for us, if we have the guts to follow him, if we prayerfully follow him and follow his spirit, the path he has chosen for us is going to be for our own good. Even though we might get cut up on the path a little bit, even though it might hurt a little bit, it's for our own good. And that's why in the psalm response, we have to listen to the psalmist. My soul is thirsting for you, O God. Not my soul's thirsting for the easy path. Not my soul is thirsting for the path of least resistance. My soul is thirsting for you, O God. And that's why when St. Paul's writing to people in Galatia, it's kind of hard to understand if you don't know the backstory with what's going on with the people, the Galatians. The Galatians keep coming to Paul and they keep saying, look, if we follow Jesus, okay, if I'm Jewish and I follow Jesus, do I still have to be circumcised? If someone's going to start following Jesus now, do they have to be circumcised to follow Jesus? And if you don't understand that that's the background of the story, a lot of times what's going on in Galatians will be confusing. And St. Paul's trying to tell them, no, circumcision is the way that you used to enter into God's covenant community. But when Jesus Christ came and died and rose again, now there's a new covenant. So now baptism replaces circumcision, okay? Baptism is now this way that we're going to enter into God's grace. Circumcision kind of represented it, but through baptism, we actually achieve it. We are God's sons and daughters. And we have to understand that. What he's trying to say too is, it's not just about being Jewish or Gentile anymore. Now you belong to Christ. It's not if you're Jew or if you're Greek, if you're slave, if you're free. Basically what this means is if you're baptized, you belong to Jesus. This is a new covenant. So you have to start thinking in different ways. You see, they were looking at it saying, people have to take this path to get to God, right? This is the way. And he says, no, it's this path over here. This is the way you draw closer to God. Now someone might hear that and go, well, circumcision definitely sounds like the rockier path. But the truth is that with baptism, even though it's cleaner and easier and less painful, the truth is baptism is not an easy path. It's not. Living the Christian life is hard. It's going to be hard. It's going to have a cross. That's why in this gospel reading, when they're talking to Jesus, he's praying in solitude. This is one of the moments that St. Luke makes it a point to say Jesus was praying in solitude. He does it a few times in his gospel. And the disciples were with him. Who do the crowds say that I am? And they start saying, well, they say, you're John the Baptist, you're Elijah. He says, who do you say I am? He says, you're the Messiah. And he rebukes them. Now, this is interesting. I always have teens ask me, why did you tell him not to tell anybody? And some scholars say, well, he says that because he really does want him to tell people. You know, like there's that one friend, you know, if you go tell that one friend and everybody's going to know within an hour through text messaging and that kind of thing. Some scholars believe that. But a lot of scholars believe that Jesus was telling him not to tell people because if they started telling people he was the Messiah, that was going to even obscure and make even more difficult what he was trying to get across to people. It was going to obscure his mission. You see, if people start telling him, oh, he's the Messiah, everyone was going to think it was one path. Oh, he's the Messiah, so this is what's going to happen now. We've been waiting. And Jesus was trying to explain to them, I am the Messiah, but it's not going to mean the path you think it means. It's not the easy path. What's going to come with this is going to be the hard path. People had one vision, one path in mind, but Jesus had another path, another plan in mind, and it was a rocky path. And it was a path that had suffering, and it was a path that required a cross. My brothers and my sisters, this week, ask yourself, as you pray, as you look to the future, those things that you wonder about, you worry about, that cause you anxiety, are you, like me, always looking for the path of least resistance, the easy path? And is that the path that God's calling you to this week? He's going to put people in your life this week, opportunities, instances, in which you can take an easy path or you can take the prayerful path. Pray about it. Walk the hard walk. Because prayer is where the cross changes shoulders, my brothers and my sisters. And it's on that path that you're going to meet Jesus, and he's going to walk you to salvation. May God bless you this week.
This podcast is brought to you by your friends at lifeteen.com.